Welcome to Shir, Sfarno Parshas Tetzaveh. The very end of the Shir yesterday, we quoted the Sfarno in his essay called Kavanos HaTorah. The Kavanos HaTorah, sort of introductory, overarching essay, which is printed at the beginning of the Sfarno's commentary to the Chumash. And in the Kavanos HaTorah, much of what he focuses on is trying to explain the Tamei HaMitzvos, the reasons behind different mitzvos, and particularly trying to understand some of the details of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, and the Karbonos. So in the Karbonos HaTorah in Perek Zayin, we saw that the Sfarno raises the issue as to why there are two sets of stones in the Bigdei Kohen Gadol, among the garments of the Kohen Gadol, that contain the names of the Shvatim of the 12 tribes of Israel. On the one hand, they are the Avnei HaEphod, the two stones that are at the top of the Ephod, the apron-like garment that the Kohen Gadol would wear. And then, of course, there are the 12 stones of the Choshen Mishpat, of the breastplate. So if you have two sets of stones containing the names of the Shvatim, what's the point of that? What does one add that the other misses? So in the Kavanos HaTorah, the Sfarno writes that the two sets of names address two different divisions within the Jewish people. The common Jew is represented by the Avnei HaEphod, by the names that are inscribed on the shoulders of the Kohen Gadol. The Talmidei Chachamim, the Jews who are steeped in Torah learning, are represented by the stones and the names that are on the choshen, that are on the breastplate. So in other words, it's two different levels of connectedness to the people. In some ways, this is reminiscent of what we saw last week in Parshas Truma, where the Sfarno writes that the Kodesh HaKodoshim represents the connection that the Talmidei Chachamim, the ones steeped in Torah learning, have to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh, the area right outside the Kodesh HaKodesh, and with the menorah and the shulchan, that represents the masses of the people. So they each have a connection to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, but they each have a separate section of the Mishkan, which is delineated for them, and probably by extension, he would say the same thing about the Beis HaMikdash, where also there was a similar kind of setup. I wanted to take that idea, which we mentioned very, very briefly at the end of yesterday's session, and to see how the Sfarno runs this idea through his commentary on the Torah. It's very interesting. This distinction between the Avnei HaEphod and the Avnei HaChoshen, he does not explicitly make in his commentary on the Chumash. It's only in the Kavanos HaTorah. It's only in that essay that he has. But hints of this distinction are to be found in his comments on the Torah. I don't know why he did not explicitly discuss in his commentary on the Torah that which he does say explicitly in the Kavanos HaTorah. I don't know. Don't have a good explanation for that. But it does seem that you could understand the comments that he makes in the commentary on the Torah a little bit better once you make reference to this idea of the Kavanos HaTorah. First of all, it's interesting to note a certain turn of phrase that the Sfarno uses both in Kavanos HaTorah as well and in his commentary on the Torah when talking about the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the Jewish people. The pasuk in the beginning of Perek Chav Ches says, "V'osiso bigdei kodesh le'aron achicho l'chavor l'sifares." Right, you should make these holy garments for Aaron HaKohen, for the bigdei Kohen Gadol, l'chavod u'l'sifaris, for honor and for glory, for honor and for splendor. So what's the difference between kavod and tiferes, between honor and splendor? So the Sfarno writes, l'chavod means l'chavod ha'kel yisbarach, that the garments honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'yosom bigdei kodesh l'avodoso. The fact that there are special holy garments in which to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an act of honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in other words, L'Kavod means that which the begodim, that which the garments add, they don't add anything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in other words, that which they, that their focus is on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and giving honor to Hashem. In contrast, Lisiferes, the idea that the garments are a source of splendor, that is meant not to highlight the relationship between the Kohen Gadol and the Ribbono Shel Olam, but rather to be a source of splendor for the Kohen Gadol himself. He says, "Shiyeh Kohen Mora," that this Kohen, who is the teacher, right? This phrase Kohen Mora is based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Beis Perek Tesvav, where the phrase Kohen Mora, a teaching Kohen, is utilized. Shiyeh Kohen Mora Noro Al Kol Svivav. So the point of the Begadim is that this teaching Kohen, this Kohen who is a Rebbe, should be impressive and a source of awe upon all of those who are around him. In other words, it's covered to Hashem, but it's also a way of building up the stature of the Kohen Gadol. So who are the ones who surround the Kohen Gadol? So here the Sfarno uses this interesting turn of phrase, which he uses a number of times. Shehem talmidov hachakukim al libo uksefov. The ones that are supposed to be impressed by these garments of the Kohen Gadol are his talmidim, his students, who are engraved on his heart and on his shoulders. The reference to being engraved on the heart and the shoulders is, of course, the reference to the various avonim, the various stones of which we spoke about before, the avnei hachoshen on his heart and the avnei ho'efod on his shoulders. Now, the names of the individual Jews are not inscribed there, but since the names of the Shvatim are inscribed there, that's supposed to include the Jewish people as a whole. In other words, every Jew can trace his ancestry to one of these 12 tribes. Fine. It's very striking to see how the Sfarno refers to the constituents of the Kohen Gadol. The Jewish people, vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol, are referred to as his Talmidim. They are his students. A very interesting turn of phrase. To the best of our knowledge, it's not like the Kohen Gadol ran a yeshiva. It's not like he gave drushes, you know. In what sense is everybody his Talmud? So the Sfarno, without really elaborating, is really giving us an important insight into the role of the Kohen Gadol specifically, and I think by extension the role of the Kohanim generally. The main role of the Kohen Gadol for sure, and the Kohanim in general, is to teach Torah. And when we talk about the relationship of the Kohen Gadol to Klal Yisrael, we don't refer to Klal Yisrael as the balabatim of the Kohen Gadol or the constituents of the Kohen Gadol. Klal Yisrael vis-a-vis the Kohen Gadol are the talmidim of the Kohen Gadol. Now the Kohen Gadol may have no direct impact or no direct interaction with a given Jew, right? In other words, not every Chaim and Yankel has a relationship with the Kohen Gadol. There are a lot of Chaim and Yankels running around Klal Yisrael. But by definition, if you're a member of Klal Yisrael at the time that there's a Kohen Gadol, you're a Talmud of the Kohen Gadol because the Kohen Gadol has an influence upon you, whether it's direct or just by way of example. And consistently, the Sfarno refers to Klal Yisrael as the Talmidim, all the Talmidim of the Kohen Gadol. He uses that language in Kavanas HaTorah, he uses that language in the commentary on the Torah. Again, just to underscore that the relationship between the Kohanim and Klal Yisrael is one of Rebbe and Talmud, not of functionary and constituent. You know, he's not just a guy that you hire, you know, to do a couple of ritual things. He's the Rebbe of all of these people. I think that's b'kavana that the Sfarno chooses the language from Divrei Hayomim to describe the Kohen Gadol. He's a Kohen Mora, a teaching Kohen, a Rebbe Kohen. What do you mean, Rebbe Kohen? Again, he gives shiurim, you know, he gives talks. He may not do any of those things. By virtue of his existence, he's supposed to be an example to Klal Yisrael, and in that sense, he's a Kohen Mora, he's a Kohen who's teaching through his very essence. Okay, so the Pesukim go on to talk about the Avnei Ho'efod and the Avnei HaChoshen. And again, let's take a look at some of the language the Sfarno uses in interpreting those Pesukim, and we'll relate it back to the Kavanas HaTorah, where in Kavanos Satara he talks about how the Avnei Eifod are about the Kohen's relationship with the Hamon, the masses, and the Avnei HaChoshen are about the Kohen Gadol's relationship with the Talmidei Chachamim, with the scholars. The Pasuk Chav Ches Yud Beis describes V'nasa Aaron as... Let's just see the Pasuk one second. V'nasa Aaron Shmosam Lifnei Hashem. Aaron should bear the names of Klal Yisrael, the Shvatim, before Hashem, Ashtek Seifov, on his two shoulders, Lizikaron, as the remembrance, right? Talk about the Avnei Ho'efod. So on that Pasuk, the Sfarno writes, what does it mean, Lizikaron, as a remembrance? Lahasig Rachamim Al Yisrael Bischusam. The Avnei Ho'efod are meant to invoke the schus, the merit of the Shvatim, in order to bring rachamim, to bring down mercy on the Jewish people who are here now. Contrast that with what it says about the Avnei HaChoshen, a little bit later on in Pasuk Lamed. Where it says there, V'nosa Aaron is mishpat b'nei Yisrael al-libo. Aaron should carry the judgment of Klal Yisrael on his heart, lifnei Hashem tamid, before Hashem eternally. So earlier with the Avnei Ho'efod, it talks about Zikaron, and here with the Avnei HaChoshen, it talks about mishpat. What's mishpat? What's justice? She is palil aleim sheyizku b'mishpat. That Aaron should daven on Klal Yisrael, that they should be victorious in the judgment that they have before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, again, the Sfarno does not, in his commentary, draw the distinction between the Avnei Ho'efod and the Avnei HaChoshen the way he does in the Kavanos HaTorah, but it's striking, and it fits in with the idea that he says in the Kavanos HaTorah, the Avnei Ho'efod represent how Aaron is asking for rachamim, he's asking for mercy on Klal Yisrael. In other words, they may not really deserve it. I'm asking for mercy. In contrast with the Avnei HaChoshen, which is called the Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate of judgment, Aaron HaKohen is saying, may Hashem's judgment be executed in such a way so that Klal Yisrael come out ahead. Now, once you're invoking judgment or justice, you're basically saying on some level they deserve to be treated well. In other words, you know, justice pertains to people who are on a higher level than mercy does. Mercy implies that, you know, maybe they don't really deserve it, but, you know, I'm throwing myself at the mercy of the court, whereas judgment implies that they're deserving on some level. So the fact that the Avnei Ho'efod invokes mercy, whereas the Avnei HaChoshen invoke judgment, again, speaks to a subtle difference between these different, types of avonim, these different types of stones, and what they represent. Let's go back a little bit. We'll talk about an interesting idea that the Sfarno has with regard to the Avnei HaChoshen. In Pasuk Chaf Aleph, in describing the Avnei HaChoshen, the Pasuk says, V'ho avonim, tiyeno al shmos b'nei Yisrael shtei mesoy al shmosam. The stones shall be on the names of B'nai Yisrael, 12 of them on their names. That's the literal translation of the pasuk. If you take it doesn't sound so good when he translated literally. It sounds a little bit awkward. The article translates over here: the stones should be according to the names of the sons of Klal Yisrael, the names of the sons of Israel. What does it mean? Why is it expressed in such a somewhat awkward way? V'ho'avonim tihiyena al shmos b'nei Yisrael. In other words, just say, the stones should contain the names of b'nei Yisrael. What do you mean, tihiyena? They should be. You know, so our scroll has to introduce the word according to. Right? But that's not what it says literally in the Chumash. What do you mean, havonim tihiyeno? These stones should be. So the Sfarno writes, kishiyakdishum hamisnadvim. When the people who are donating the stones contribute the stones, and they set aside the stones to be used for the Avnei Achoshen, yiyeh hekdeshum l'shem kach, shiyichtuvu aleim shmos hashvotim. It's not enough to simply sanctify the stones and say these are going to be used for the Choshen. When they are sanctified, when they are makdish, the stones, they have to have in mind that the names of the Shvatim are going to be put on them. In other words, there has to be a certain kavana, a certain thought about adding the names, engraving the names of the Shvatim on them already from the time that they're makdish the stones. And then the pasuk ends off, pituche chosam ish al shemo. They should be engraved, each one with the proper name. So as the Sfarno, v'chein ha-mifateyach, so too the engraver, yifateyach eso evin shokol echod mehem al shemo, the engraver, when he engraves each name on the stone, lo yachlif es ho'evin v'lo ha'kavono mizeh lo zeh. He can't switch one stone for another, and he can't switch the names around. In other words, you know, one might think, okay, you know, 12 stones, this one, you know, maybe Binyamin goes a little bit better with this one, you know, maybe Shimon goes a little bit better with this one. Each name is chosen precisely to fit with the stone that's associated with that name. And the kavana, the thought, the intention to match up a particular stone with a particular name has to be present when the stones are dedicated, and it has to be present before the engraver begins engraving the names upon the stones. We'll keep reading a little bit in this chapter, Perek Chof Ches. The Torah describes the various different Big Day Kohen Gadol. And then, in Pasuk Mem Aleph, we read the following. Vilbashta osam es Aaron achicha v'esbonav ito. You should dress Aaron and his sons with these clothes. Umoshachta osam. You should anoint Aaron and his sons with the Shemen HaMishcha, with the oil of anointment. Umilesa es yodom, you should literally fill their hands. Vikidashta osam, and you should sanctify them. Vikihanuli, and they, Aaron and his sons, will serve as kohanim to me. What's umilesa es yodom? You will fill their hands. So Rashi over here writes as follows. Umileisos yodom, kol milui yodayim loshen chinuchu. The term lemaleis hayodayim, to fill the hands, is a turn of phrase which means to inaugurate, right? To initiate someone or something. Kishu nichnas ledaver lios muchsok bo meyos yom vahala hu milui. Filling your hands means that you're entering into a certain position and you're going to fill that position from this day on. Why is that the term, miloy yodayim, filling the hands? So he says, uvaloshen laz, in French, we find the following. Kishememanin odem apkudas dovar, when a person is appointed to a certain position, nosein hashalit biyodo, beis yad shel or, shikorin gont. There was a practice at one point in time that when a person is stepping into a position, whoever is giving him this position would put a kind of leather glove on the person's hand, referred to as a gaunt. I believe that's the same term as gauntlet, you know, that's which, you know, in medieval times that was the glove that the knights would wear. Ve'al yodo hu machziko badover, and that's a symbolic way of showing that the person is stepping into that position. Literally, they would have his hand fill the glove, and that was a symbolic way of saying that you're taking over the position. Again, we don't do that in our society, But there are other ways we show that a person is stepping into a position. Nowadays we throw tomatoes at them to show that they're stepping into a new position. We might give somebody the key to the city. We might give somebody some other indication that he's beginning a new position. Back in the day, they would have the person put on a special glove as an indication that he was stepping into the position. So that's milui yodayim, filling the hands. The hand is filling up the glove. In other words, that's it's a metaphor to describe how a person is stepping into a new position. So in other words, umoshachta osam, in the pasuk, you will anoint them. Umileisa es yadam, you will fill their hands, i.e. you'll inaugurate them, you'll initiate them into being kohanim. What Rashi leaves unaddressed is how you then translate the rest of the pasuk. V'kidashta osam, you should sanctify them, v'chiyanuli, and they will serve as kohanim for me. Well, isn't v'kidashta osam really the same thing as umileisa es yadam? Umileisa es yadam means you'll initiate them, you'll inaugurate them, and v'kidashta osam means that you'll sanctify them. Okay, it's basically the same thing. They're stepping into the new position. So then why does the Torah use two terms, umileisa es yadam, and then v'kidashta osam? So the Sfarno has a different understanding of milui yodayim, umileisa es yadam, which answers that question we raised a moment ago, and also, we'll see, helps us understand a different issue in the Chumash. Says the Sfarno on that pasuk, umileisa es yadam, tashlim osa. You should complete it. What's the it that he's referring to? So you should complete it, the hand of the Kohen. What do you mean you should complete the hand of the Kohen? What, he's missing a finger? You're going to stick an extra finger on the hand of the Kohen? What does that mean exactly? So as opposed to Rashi, who understands that milo yodayim means to inaugurate or initiate, according to the Sfarno, milui yodayim means to prepare. If you finish somebody's hand, that's a metaphor for saying that you've given him all of the preparation that he needs, all of the training that he needs, in order to be able to step into the position. Right? So milui yodayim, according to the Sfarno, is more of an issue of training than it is initiation. Give him the wherewithal to be able to serve as a Kohen. Tashlim osa, complete the hand, complete the ability of the Kohen to be able to serve. Be'inyan shetiyah shleima u'ruyuya la'avod avodas HaKodesh, such that the hand of the Kohen is complete and fit to be able to serve in the holy position of being a Kohen in the Mishkan. It's more training and readiness than it's about initiation or inauguration. So Rabbi Kuperman points out in his notes, once you have that interpretation of the Sfarno, so then we understand why umileisos yadam v'kidashta osam, you should fill their hands and sanctify them, is not the same thing. According to Rashi, it's hard to understand what the difference is between those two phrases. According to the Sfarno, umileisos yadam means give them the training to know what to do, and then v'kidashta osam is put the stamp of approval on them. In other words, give them the kedusha to function as kohanim. That's actually the initiation. V'kidashta osam, you should sanctify them. Umileisas yadam means that they should train. They should follow the course, to become a proper kohen. This pshat of milui yodayim runs forward a little bit into the next perek, where the Sfarno has a very, very interesting and unique pshat in one of the details of the karbonos. In Perek Chavtes, the karbonos hamiluim, the karbonos that basically either initiate or train the kohanim to become kohanim, are described in detail. These are the karbonos that ultimately are going to start off the Kohanim in their career. They're going to initiate Aaron and his sons as Kohanim. So among the Karbanos that are described is the El Miluim, the Ram of Miluim, of initiation. And when the El Miluim is described in Perek Chof Tes Pasuk Chof Beis, the Shok Hayomin, the right hand thigh, is taken from the animal. It's waved and ultimately given to Aaron and his sons. The Shok Hayomin, the right thigh. What's the significance of that? Why the right thigh? So the Svarno writes as follows. I should say the Pasuk, before we get to the Svarno, the Pasuk in describing the fact that the Shok Hayomin is taken, the various fats are separated from the animal. The eis shok hayomin, and the right thigh is separated. Ki el miluim hu, because it's a ram of initiation. Why is the fact that it's an el miluim have anything to do with the fact that the right thigh is separated? What's the connection between those two things? So just very quickly, let's just see the idea here from the Svarna. Specifically from this karbon, the right thigh was placed on the mizbeach, lokein b'shar karbonos, something which we don't find with other karbonos. Why? Ki ashok hayomoni ba'behema hu b'makom hayad hayomonis ba'odom. The right thigh in an animal corresponds to the right hand of a person. Ulefikach roi shiyeh shok hakarbon al gabi amizbeach miluye yad liyad yamin hakohen hamakrivo. If the process of initiating the kohanim into their service is called miluye yad, filling in the hand, so what better way to represent that with a karbon of miluim than to take, quote unquote, the hand of the animal? The animal doesn't actually have a hand. But if you take the right thigh of the animal, that represents the right hand of the Kohen, and it's representative of the idea that the Kohen is now being initiated into his service. Pick up over here tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer, Ratzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lizah.